talking about a home. From the people who bring you Charleston Home & Design Magazine, the Charleston Home & Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home & Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. That was Billy Joel with Movin' Out, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home. And you know that song, Movin' Out, that always reminds me of why I moved to Charleston. I'm from New York State originally, way up near Lake Placid, New York, near the Canadian border. And I had a lot of friends after they got out of college that moved to New York City, and I was actually planning to do that as well, and ended up getting a job in my hometown in television, and ended up not moving to New York City, and ultimately moved to Charleston. And I would talk to some of my friends in New York City about working late, for example, and I'd say I'm working late, and that would be working till 6:30 at night, and working late for them was working till 9:30 at night or later. And you know, it's just anyone who lives in Charleston knows that this is such a great lifestyle city, and I don't know why so many people think that that grind is worthwhile. It's definitely not worthwhile for me. But anyways, and we also heard the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, our theme song for the radio show. In addition to our radio show talking about a home, we also published Charleston Home & Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every January, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which is coming up August 23rd through the 25th at the Galliard Center in downtown Charleston. We also organize the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking. We've got a phone interview with Will Smith with Low Country Iron and Woodworks, and he's a great guy. He does great work. So if you if you're looking for any kind of iron work around your house, a fence, a gate, anything, he fabricates that iron like no one else. He fabricated a iron spiral staircase and a gate for us at our house, and we're very, very pleased with that. We're also going to speak with custom builder Adam Copenhaver with Cope Grand Homes, and then wrapping it up, we have a bonus interview with Rick Jackson. He's with Carolina Machine Finishing, but his passion is a local nonprofit called Remember Those. Have a great weekend. If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and now we're talking with Will Smith with Low Country Iron and Woodworks. How you doing, Will?
Pretty good today, Tim.
Good. Hey, Will, take a moment and tell everybody about Low Country Iron and Woodworks.
Well, we're a small company, but we try to pride in the work we do. Mostly quality is what we're shooting for, not quantity. So when people ask us about projects, you know, we're always out to satisfy the customer, because that's the goal, because we want everybody to be happy when we leave the house and or the facility we're working in. You know, pretty much that's what we strive for. You know, it's not necessarily about making a bunch of money today and being a big name, as it is having everybody satisfied and happy with what you've done in your life. And to me, that's more of a goal than it is to be bigger and rich.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's very admirable. We'll talk about some of the different projects that Lowcountry Iron and Woodworks has been involved with, because people may be walking or driving past your work every day. Lots of iron gates and fences and railings and all sorts of things, and they may not even realize that was something that was fabricated by Lowcountry Iron and Woodworks.
Oh yeah, we do all types of work. We do a lot of work that people don't even know about. We do gates, fences, handrails, security doors. We even do a lot of, you know, different types of work for plants and production parts. We actually hang steel in a lot of houses. A lot of new construction today, especially around the coast, has got a lot of iron in the house. Got a lot of flitch paints and beams, columns. We do a ton of that kind of stuff. We do structures for all modular places like old folks' homes, stuff like that. We just done one not too long ago in Goose Creek. They did two facilities we did over there. We do a lot of historic stuff if somebody needs more like an older stuff to be revamped and brought back up to looking good again. We do that. We did the governor's mansion right there in Columbia on the Lincoln Street side. We restored all the old fence there and had the castings there recasted and all that, so that way everything looked like brand new again. And, you know, we enjoy doing stuff like that. Projects like that don't come around every day, but, you know, that's what we really, really strive to do is the older stuff. But, the more stuff is going into modern deal, so we do a lot of modern stuff where a lot of people are looking for cable rail, but they don't quite want a cable rail. They want something different but have the same look to it. So we'll do a rod rail where we'll do a tubing and a rod composite, and that way you get the feel and the look of the cable rail, but you have something heavier that doesn't bend and doesn't have to be adjusted over time.
Gotcha. And with people that are building new homes and they want the open floor concepts in their house, that doesn't happen by accident. There's a lot of engineering that goes into that. And I was at a job site a few years ago when you had a crane on site and you were Lowcountry Iron and Woodworks was installing an I-beam that went across the span of the house. And that was to eliminate any columns so you could have that open concept inside the house.
Oh yeah, and that's a big thing today. I mean, everybody wants that large feel in a room. So, you know, today, you know, your engineers have to plan for that and your contractor. Everybody's got to be on the same page. There's a lot of shops out there today that they don't want to do the installation. They want to actually fab the metal. What happens, though, is they fab the metal off the plan. Well, that looks great and everything, but it'll never fit in your house. You really have to get with the framer and the contractor and actually feel verify everything and make sure things don't work out and kind of satisfy the framer and the contractor as the project goes along.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Where are you located, Will? Where is your fabrication shop for Lowcountry Iron and Woodworks?
We're out of St. Matthew, South Carolina, but pretty much we work just about all the state of South Carolina. And the good thing about being where we are is that we're centrally located. So, you know, Charleston's about the same distance as Aiken, Columbia. We work in Blythewood. We work far up as Greenville. Actually, we'll be going to Greer next week to do some work. We actually do some work for some contractors working on docks and stuff. We do some of the aluminum fab for docks, and we do, you know, some stainless work for them. And it just depends on where the job's at, but you know, we kind of have to be spread out in location because every house is not getting iron and every facility doesn't have steel in it. So we have to kind of pick and choose our areas as everything's going on and just kind of move with the flow.
I was going to ask you if you work with any other medium besides iron, especially here on the coast with all the salty air and the salt water from the ocean and everything.
Oh yeah, we do a ton of aluminum work and stainless, and it depends on the application, the project, and I try to lead the homeowner and the contractor in the right way and position. And some things may even depend upon budget. It depends on what their budget is, depends on what their goal is, what they're shooting for longevity. Some things aren't as great as people think they are, and some people have misconceptions of thinking that things are cheaper. Like a lot of people think that aluminum is cheaper than steel, and I don't know where they got that concept from, but that's not the case. It's always going to be more expensive with aluminum. Anytime you have a non-ferrous metal, it's always going to be more expensive than plain steel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's hard to explain to customers today. And, when you're trying to get in there and they want something that's going to last for a long time, you've got to understand how long are something going to last. Because one thing is that paint coatings are not forever, no matter what you put on it.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is forever, but you have to look at how can I make something that's going to be the lowest maintenance that I can have and what's going to be the easiest thing for me to maintain. And that's the goal that we try to tell everybody, this is what you aspire to do, not necessarily I'm going to build something that the paint job is going to last forever,
mm-hmm.
because that's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a very good point. It's hard to believe, but it's been 10 years since you did some iron work for our house. And, I remember the day when we were, building our house when you brought in a crane and, hooked up a spiral staircase that Low Country Iron and Woodworks had created. And the crane, in order to install this spiral staircase, it was going up on the third floor. That crane took the spiral staircase over the house and to the back of the house where it was going to end up. And that was quite a day. I remember being a little bit nervous about that.
Oh yeah, and spiral staircase, it's a different animal altogether. There's so many choices out there. People are a fool a lot of times when they're looking at the internet and seeing all the different choices. 90% of the time, they're looking at a bolt together kit,
mm-hmm.
which is usually not as well constructed. You have a lot of parts, a lot of moving parts, and the problem with that is over time these things come loose, and then you have you got things that are chattering and bouncing and deflecting off. And if you really want a product that's going to last, you want something that's solid. So, when we fabricate a staircase, it's all one unit. There are no parts and pieces. When we put it together, it's a done deal, and it will last. As long as you maintain it, it will last forever.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And then Low Country Iron and Woodworks also installed a beautiful iron gate, and kind of like with a, I don't even know what you would call it, but kind of an oval shape at the top with the three prong kind of spear looking things at the top. What's the term for that?
Oh yeah, that'd be a fleur-de-lis, pretty much.
Fleur-de-lis.
It's a French thing, and a lot of people they like the concept of it. That's an older look that some people still aspire to go to. A lot of people still looking for more modern. We do a lot of wildlife art for people. Some people have a logo that they like that, we'll cut out for them and put in there. We do some three-dimensional stuff, too. And, of course, that gets into more time. But if you really want something that's, really unique and different, that's what we really like to do is those kind of projects. Just getting people on board with it, Again, a budget is always the key factor when you're building a new home.
Mm-hmm. But Low Country Iron and Woodworks, you folks are open to a homeowner that might have a specific design in mind, whether it be for railings or a fence or just some different iron objects in their home.
Oh, exactly, and that's right. I mean, we're up to try any kind of challenge that somebody wants to bring to us. If you're looking for something that you just can't find or it's not quite right, we're looking to build that. I mean, we're looking at that's, you know, that's what we're here for. I mean, you know, we're not something that you can go buy something at Lowe's that looks like what we make. I mean, we're actually there to make something that's going to fit your eye and fit the facilities you want it in. And we want something that you're going to look at the rest of your life in your home. We want something that every time you look at it, you say, wow, that is nice. I am so glad I chose that.
That's funny you say that, because we think the same thing. I mean, maybe not every day do we say that about the spiral staircase that Low Country Iron and Woodworks fabricated and installed, or the iron gate, but it definitely is something I notice and I think about, and I think, wow, I'm so glad I made the investment in that. And by the way, 10 years later, we probably should do something in terms of maintenance, but we've never had to do any kind of maintenance on the spiral staircase or that gate. And I know you're probably gonna get mad at me for saying that, but we probably, but it looks as good as the day that you installed it 10 years ago.
Well, that's the thing, you know. I mean, we try to use quality products as far as paint and everything and primer. And, you know, I mean, we don't make the paint or the primer, but we try to find the best product out there available.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is maintaining. A lot of times people think something rusting. A lot of times it's just mold that's actually growing on it.
Oh, yeah.
Actually clean it off with a pressure washer. It's just no big deal. But it's always good to maintain a little bit. You got to, you know, go maybe every 8 to 10 years and just touch up the paint a little bit.
Right. How long have you been in the ironworks business, Will?
I see I'm 40 now. I've been doing this since I was about 15. So was that about 25 years, I
yeah.
suppose?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to train guys to do things today. I mean, it's really an eye for it, that it's an acquired kind of thing. It takes a long time to really learn the concept of what you're looking at, how to do things, how things are going to turn out in the house, how it's going to look. And it's, I can explain things better to homeowners than most people. And if they have any problems, you know, visually seeing it, we can provide them with a drawing, you know, to show them, you know, a better illustration of what's going on and how everything's going to look and the concept.
Mm-hmm. Did you start out as an apprentice, or, you know, 15 years old? That's pretty young to be working in an iron shop.
Oh, yeah. I started out working with a guy. And, you know, I worked with him for probably about 4 years. He wanted me to buy his place out, which I was too young for all that. So, you know, after that, I started doing structural stuff and hanging iron and steel, and which was a good thing. By doing that, I learned a lot more, you know, about structural concepts, as far as like beams and columns, split plates, building erection, a lot of the actual commercial world, which was a good thing for me, because by learning more about commercial work, I learned more about how I can apply that into residential work and make things stronger and safer for what we're putting up too. So that was actually a plus for me making that decision when I was younger.
Mm.
And it's really helped out over the years, and that, you know, having different fields of work. I mean, I've done concrete work when I was younger, so I've learned a lot about, you know, different types of concrete. I've done framing, so, you know, I've learned about, you know, how everything's attached and, you know, how things are framed out, waterproofing. All these things go together in a lot of things we do today.
So it's not just the theory of how these things go together. You've practiced it. You've gone out and gotten your hands dirty.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, and we do any job, I'm there. I mean, you will see me on the job site. There's never a job that I do that you're just going to see the guys that work for me doing it. You're going to see me there, because I'm going to make sure that it's done right before we leave, because that's how I feel about a project. Because when I spend my money on something, I want it done right.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel the same way when I go to someone's house. I want it done like I would want it done, and that's how I provide to them.
Will, Low Country Iron and Woodworks does a lot of business with architects. Architects ask you for some of those structural I-beams that you were mentioning before, and also custom builders reach out to Low Country Iron and Woodworks as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you have some things where remodeling, especially where, you know, the engineer, he knows what the load carries, you know, he can do the measurements, but then again, he's under height restrictions as far as ceiling height or wall height. So So that's when they'll bring me in there and ask me my opinion of what they think we could do to, you know, to structurally get everything sound. And you know, I've got a pretty good eye for it, so, you know, I can usually lead them in the right path and help them make the right decision with everything so that they don't have nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm. And how long has Low Country Iron and Woodworks been around?
Oh, I think we've been in business for like about 18 years now.
18 years. Well, that's a big compliment to you because you can't stay in business that long without having repeat business from some of those architects and builders and so on. And word spreads when you're not doing a good job. And so Low Country Iron and Woodworks, I'm sure you've got some very happy customers out there.
Oh yeah, and once we do some work for a contractor or a homeowner, 99% of the time, we're doing their work forever. They call us back every time. There's no questions asked. They want us to come do it because they know what kind of work they're going to get. They know that they can call on us and we're going to get it done.
Will, if somebody is like living in the historic district in downtown Charleston, do you do any work in the historic district?
Oh, yeah, we do work down there a good bit. Down there, dealing with the VAR is a little different. You just have to apply for all your permits, and you know, you got to get them drawings and pictures. They want to see really visually of what's going to be applied to the house. When you're talking about down there, you know, there's a lot of rules and regulations you got to follow. So, I mean, they want to keep the historic district historic because that is one thing that tourists come to see in Charleston is the actual ironwork and the old stuff that is there now. So, you know, that's a big calling card for Charleston. So they want to keep that alive. And, you know, that's a great thing. I mean, because, you know, history has to be preserved somehow. So we're out there trying to do that every day.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who moved to Charleston because they love all, you know, the historic homes in downtown Charleston, and they come and visit and then they say, I want to move here and I want to integrate some of the things that I see in historic downtown Charleston into my new house that I'm building. So you're able to replicate some of those historic iron gates and so forth into new construction if somebody or even if you have an existing home, if you just want a little bit more of a Charleston look, Low Country Iron and Woodworks can help out with that too, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, we do that all the time. I mean, that's the thing is people, you know, even Philip Simmons, you know, said that when he was younger, you know, that was one of the things that made him want to do ironwork. But as he was a child passing through the streets, he saw all the beautiful ironwork, and he would stop and look at it. And that was one of the things that made him want to do the ironwork because he enjoyed looking at it so much that he wanted to create that. So, I mean, people, I think everywhere wants a little piece of that in their house. And that's a great thing because it's always the centerpiece of your house, that, you know, to upgrade your home, giving you more curb appeal or even just simple enjoyment for yourself in the backyard.
That's true. That's true. Well, Will, how can folks reach Low Country Iron and Woodworks?
Oh, you can give us a call at 803-515-3023 or 803-655-5653, or you can email us at lowcountry.iron@gmail.com. And anytime you try to contact us, we'll be glad to get back with you and take a look at what you got going on.
And you can always find Low Country Iron and Woodworks in the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine. Just pick up one of our magazines around town or visit our website. And Low Country Iron and Woodworks has a webpage on charlestonhomeanddesign.com website. And you can all the contact information for Low Country Iron and Woodworks is right there as well, charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, thank you, Will. We've been talking to Will Smith with Low Country Iron and Woodworks. Thanks so much, Will.
Thank you.
And now we're talking with custom builder Adam Copenhaver with Cope Grand Homes. How you doing, Adam?
Excellent, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Adam, take a moment and tell everyone about Cope Grand Homes.
Sure. For the Charleston market, we're a custom home builder who focuses in the beach market of Charleston. We cover areas from Seabrook up through Kiowa, Folly Beach, downtown the peninsula, and then Sullivan's, Mount Pleasant, and Isle of Palms.
Well, Adam, tell me, how does, that's kind of a unique name, Cope Grand. How did that name come about?
Sure. A number of years back when we were considering starting a home building company to change the way that we had done business and previously with other builders, was we were looking at ideas, and there's an experience that we wanted to change with Cope Grand Homes. And so Cope comes from our last name, Copenhaver, my business partner, Ben Copenhaver. And we decided to mix that with Grand. Of course, in South Carolina, we've got a lot of affinity with Grand things, such as the Grand Tree. We certainly have an affinity with the Grand experience. And so we mixed those two together, and we came up with Cope Grand Homes.
Mm, very good. Yep. So there was a lot of thought that went behind that.
Yeah, sure.
That name,
yeah.
Cope Grand Homes. And you mentioned your business partner. That's your twin brother, is that right?
I do, yeah. So Ben and I had grown up together as twins our whole entire life. We had known that we were going to be builders. We had both gotten education in engineering and building science, building construction. And we always knew that at some point after learning from other professionals in the business that we were going to come together and have our own business. And so for us, that happened about 2.5 years ago. We made the decision in Charleston. Ben had lived here for about 15 years. I was working in a different market. And my wife and I decided that Charleston was a place that we wanted to spend the rest of our life, much like a lot of other folks here. So we had formed Cope Grand Homes, and we had chose to do some things differently with our business than previous companies that we had worked for in the past. And it's absolutely been one of the biggest blessings that we've had in our life to be able to now do what we enjoy the most, which is build houses and bring a grand experience to it as well.
Mm-hmm. And did you and your brother work for other builders before striking out on your own?
Yes, but actually both of us had. Ben had worked for a national builder for a period of time, and then he went into custom home building for another company. And then while I was in Virginia, I'd worked for a regional builder and developer, and we focused on a lot of land acquisition, land development, as well as building some high-end communities.
Mm-hmm. Very good. What is the Cope Grand culture or the Cope Grand philosophy? What sets Cope Grand Homes apart from some of the other builders?
This is actually an excellent question. I'm glad that you had asked. We are very specific about our relationships with our clients. We get a lot of offers to come in and bid projects, bid new homes, bid fine renovations. And a lot of our projects, we are uniquely really fun for us. We enjoy a lot of these. But what we enjoy the most is our relationships with our clients. Our client relationships, they start in the beginning. We have introductions. We do a builder meeting. We go through feasibility, design, build process for the new homes and for the renovations. But what we really focus on is whether those clients are the right fit for our culture. We feel that it's our responsibility for our current clients to make sure that we also take on clients that are right for our brand, meaning that if we took on clients that were not right for our brand, we would be robbing time from previous clients. And so we've got a process for that. If you'd like to ask me some more questions, we can go through it a little bit more. The clients that we're looking for are the clients that match our current internal culture. We love to have fun. We love to enjoy what we do. And we certainly love building beautiful things. And that's at the heart of it.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those those traits that you look for? Because, you know, it's interesting to, talking to you about this because, the building a custom home or undergoing a large-scale renovation can take upwards of a year or more. And, you're talking to your builder several times a day. I remember when we built our home 10 years ago, in a five-minute period, I called the builder seven times because there were questions that kept coming up from the different subs or suppliers. And, he answered it every single time. And, that's important. It's a small thing, but that's important.
Well, that's fantastic that you had that builder relationship. A lot of folks that we hear from have builder horror stories, right? Building homes specifically in the custom world of you have a no shortage of 10,000 choices, right, and 10,000 decisions. And those things are very liquid throughout the building process. So it's really important that we plan up front for a lot of those so that we can have more fun on the back end. We change subtle things on the back end. And so that experience, we have an outline for that, which is in our grand experience. And I'd love for anybody in your audience just to reach out to us and say, tell us more. We'd love having conversations about that. But getting back to the original discussion with the client, It's absolutely imperative, and you were very fortunate to have a good builder with a good relationship, and we enjoy hearing about that, but so many folks don't. And so we strive to make sure that when we select our clients who have already selected us, that we interview them and make sure that they're good for the business that we would like to carry on. The most important part about that, I believe, is going to be making sure that our clients have expectations for the build that match our expectations and the service that we can contribute.
Yeah, when it comes to hiring a custom builder, I often equate it to, you know, getting married, because you are going to be living with that person day in and day out for quite a long time, and you're not going to just marry, you know, the first person that comes along. You're looking for the right match, someone who understands you and is a good listener and is going, you both have common goals in mind when it comes to life, or in this case, constructing your home.
Tim, it's a wonderful point, because what we look for ultimately when we meet folks and the litmus test often that we talk about for clients that we take on is through the evaluation of understanding their build, expectations, timeline, we ultimately just ask, before anything else, is whether or not we feel that those folks can turn into best friends with us or family. And oftentimes that answers the question. And it takes away other things such as, that other builders might be looking for, which is location or price point, or is this going to be a beautiful build for our brand? We're not as much interested in that. The reason that we created this business and the reason that we're looking for the grand experience for ourselves and ownership of business and operation, but is also for our clients. We want to make sure that that experience for them is one that meets and exceeds their expectations. And when you understand folks on that level, you can truly provide a lot better service.
Yeah, it sounds like understanding expectations is very, very important, because I remember talking to a builder, I guess it would be like 8 to 10 years ago, when we were just starting to come out of the recession. He was saying that, I remember the quote he used was, the ship has sailed as far as trying to, you know, get something for nothing. You know, there were some desperate builders out there who were looking to take on any project whatsoever. The material prices were way, way down during the recession a little more than 10 years ago. Just as the years continued, we came out of the recession and that ship had sailed. You know, the expectation of hiring a builder who's willing to work for next to nothing, that ship had sailed.
Yeah, it's a great point. That type of experience these days, what we enjoy doing in part of our grand process here is we enjoy being educators of construction. So a lot of folks, you likely had experience going into the building process. A lot of folks that come to us don't have the experience of building a custom home, and they don't know what to expect. So maintaining and setting expectations for that process is extremely important to us. I just came from a lunch visit with our flooring reps at Mohawk Flooring, and we talked about different flooring that's available today as compared to what was available 5 years ago. And it's remarkable just to have those conversations, because we pride ourselves on being experts within the market. And so when we can gain more information of understanding different options in the building process for selections, we regurgitate that information for our clients to help them make better decisions. So setting expectations on that is absolutely something that we feel and hold dear to us.
Sounds like communication is extremely important with Cope Grand Homes. And how do you go about, keeping the homeowner, who is the ultimate decision maker in this whole process, keeping them apprised of everything?
Sure, there's a number of different ways that we tackle this, because communication is key. Sometimes folks communicate at night, sometimes folks communicate in the morning, sometimes it's in between babies' naps, which is quite unique. We use two different platforms. We use an online platform where we use a state-of-the-art builder software where we handle all of our documents, all of our selections, all of our features, all of the pricing for all of the construction agreements. And then we also communicate often through very regular phone calls, emails, and text messages. And if you're not operating on all those fronts today as a builder, you really can't communicate as effectively as you should be with your clients. And especially pointing out in the custom home world, there's a lot of decisions to make, and a lot of flexibility wants to come about, and clients are requesting that and want that. And so when you can communicate across those fronts, and you can then log text messages, emails, and phone conversations on your builder software, it becomes an incredible advantage.
Do you insist that that the clients have most of the items, the products that will be going into the house picked out in advance, or how does that take place?
Sure. So it depends specifically on the build and what the build schedule looks like. On the custom home side, we traditionally try to make as many selections up front. And one thing that we've learned in previous years, that those selections are very unique to the husband or wife or somebody else related to the family. And we have a team of design professionals that we match each one of our clients with, so that they may make those selections, not with just with the builder in our opinion of products and different things, but also with a professional designer. So now we brought in another level of professional expertise to our process. And so that happens relatively early. And then we have opportunities to make certain changes throughout construction the whole way to the end.
Mm-hmm. And, going back to what we were talking about the litmus test, the trying to, find a good match with both the clients and the home builder themselves. People would be surprised. I look at building permits around the Tri-County area almost on a daily basis, and there's a code that I will plug into my laptop when I see this happen. But it happens more than you would think, where the homeowner has fired the builder, and now they they're either doing it on their own, or they've hired another contractor to come in, in the middle of all this, which makes it very, very difficult for that second builder. But we call it NC for new construction finish, as in you're trying to hire someone to finish the home at that point. Has that ever happened with Cope Grand Homes?
No, and it's very unusual for us. We're committed to our clients from the beginning to the end. Of course, in construction, things can come up. But when you have a builder that you can communicate with and you are communicating regularly, we don't expect that we'll find issues like that. We were just boasting, and we don't mean this to be boastful, but we were just talking in our daily or our weekly ops meeting just this past week that it's incredible. Right now, out of 10 projects that we have going on between new homes and renovations, that every single one of our clients is extremely happy, on schedule and on budget, which, from a contractor standpoint in construction, it's extremely unusual to have anywhere from, or to have 100%, let alone 75% of folks on schedule, on budget, and happy. And so for us, it's been an extremely good feeling. We want to continue to do that. And it's why it's important for our Cope Grand experience, or our Grand experience, to continue to be something that we strive to uphold in our business. We don't want to just take on clients just for the sake of growing the business. We think about each consecutive client as a value to the previous clients that we have now. We do not want to take any extra time away from our old clients just to take on anybody else, which is one of the things that most builders will find themselves in trouble with. And it's one of the things that deteriorates communication and on-site time management, which causes issues in the field. Mm-hmm. So we haven't had that experience yet.
That's good.
And
that's good.
We don't expect ever to have that experience.
Yeah, and it is. It should be the goal for both the client and the builder for this to be a win-win situation. And unfortunately, there are some clients out there, and I've heard this for many, many years. They don't want you as the builder to win. They're not happy unless it's win-lose. They win and you lose. So, and that might be dragging you through the mud over certain costs or things like that. And not, but there's a million different examples of that kind of thing. But it's also possible at the end of the project for that homeowner to wake up every single day and thank the builder, in their mind at least, about, oh my gosh, look at this beautiful you know, porch that they built, or look at this, you know, just whatever feature of the house that they happen to be in love with. And I would, sounds like a lot of the previous clients of Cope Grant Homes, that those people have that experience.
They do. And, you know, going back to just the meeting we had the other week, talking about how many folks are happy, it's been an incredible blessing to have those folks. And it's been an incredible opportunity for us to have the opportunity to choose which clients that Cope Grant takes on. You're right, Tim. There are folks out there that do not want the builder to win. When our clients see how much we care about them and how much we care about their process and we care about their experience and how much time we spend on that, those folks, I think, either run away or we just don't have them. We'll turn them. And so it's been great for us to have that opportunity and to show those folks how much we care and to show those folks how hard we work just to make sure that level of service is at a grand metric for us.
Well, how can folks get more information about Cope Grant Homes?
We love conversations. It's easy to go online and check out our website. We hope that everybody will do that to become familiar with what projects that we're involved in. Please check us out on social media, but we love conversations. So please don't hesitate to reach out. Our phone number, my personal phone number, I'll give you that if you'd like to write it down. It is 843-735-2364. And even if it's just to talk about building construction, even if it's to talk about building science or issues that you might be having in your current build or previous build, or your interest to build, you know, here recently or soon. We'd love to talk about it. We'd love to give you any more information. We'd love to share with you our knowledge and just be helpful. And that's a great start.
Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with custom builder Adam Copenhaver with Cope Grant Homes. Thanks so much, Adam.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and now we're talking with Rick Jackson about the nonprofit Remember. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing very well, Tim. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Rick, take a moment and tell everyone about the local nonprofit called Remember.
Remember is a Charleston-based nonprofit, faith-based organization, Tim, that works around the world in not only impoverished but persecuted areas where we go in and we our primary mission is to work with children who have lost their parents due to martyrdom, or families who have lost the primary breadwinner due to martyrdom. Of course, it's Mission Plus. We have occasion to work with lots of folks of all faiths, of all denominations around the world as we go into those areas to bring, sometimes it's just resources, but sometimes it's medical aid, sometimes it's construction work. And we've even been able to build some children's homes in different parts of the world, safe houses where people can flee to find respite from persecution.
And these are mainly Christians who are in the minority in those particular countries. What countries?
I just have come back from Myanmar, which we would know as Burma, south of China, east of India. So Burma is a primary country that we work in. We work in Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, North Sudan, South Sudan, so, you know, the places that really aren't places that are probably make it on your bucket list for a vacation.
Yeah, and they're places where Christians are in the minority, and very oftentimes the Christians are hated, they're despised. There's genocides that go on in those countries. And I guess I'm thinking about the recent bombings that took place in Sri Lanka, and I was, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of people who were a little bit miffed that some of the politicians referred to them as Easter worshipers rather than just calling them Christians. And in Sri Lanka, the Christians are minorities also, and there are those that just want to wipe the Christians off the earth. And talk about the people themselves that Remember is helping.
Yeah, and we do, Tim. I mean, we are a Christian-based organization, and we do go in and our primary target is to minister to those who have lost the primary breadwinner, which can reduce a woman to try to feed her family, because in a lot of those cultures, they will kill the primary breadwinner in order to force, basically enslave the woman into a lifestyle where she's forced to recant her faith. So she's basically just becomes a slave to the state. But when we go into those places, our goal is not necessarily to convert them from their religion, but our goal is to minister to those who are professing Christians and to minister to, we minister to Muslims, we minister to Buddhists. There's no group, people group that we won't care for. So mm-hmm. we take medical teams in. There's no checklist at the triage table to determine what your faith is. You have a medical need, you have a heart issue, you have an eye issue. We've treated people with shrapnel who come into the clinics. We don't turn someone down because of their faith. We love them, we care for them, they get the exact same care, the exact same medical treatment, exact same amount of love, because that's what true Christianity does.
And Rick, you work with a lot of local doctors, taking them. What do you think motivates those doctors to get on an airplane for 21 hours and then work their tails off and then get back on a plane, and I'm sure they're exhausted through this entire process. But what do you think motivates these doctors?
That's a great picture that you draw there, because we're talking about medical professionals, and Charleston is blessed to have an incredible wealth of faith-based medical professionals here in this beautiful city. And they'll pay for their own trip. It's not funded by the organization, it's not funded by others. Those professionals pay for their own way. They take time off from their work. They're not getting paid while they're gone. They do sit on an airplane for 21 straight hours to get to the destination, to then work in unconscionable conditions with a little bit of fear of potential persecution themselves. It's not air conditioned, you're sweating profusely, and knowing there's this little element of concern, but they do it because it's who they are. They do it because what they've experienced in their own life, and they're becoming Christians, and they'll do anything. They want to serve like Jesus did, and they'll be willing to lay down their life. They're not looking to die, but they're willing to lay down their life and to do that, and to watch them work. It's amazing when you get a doctor go for the first time, and he's a little concerned that, I really need to have my mental faculties together. We need to shut down the clinic at 5 o'clock and go back so I can be resting, understand all those things. A lot of times I organize and set up the clinics, and then at 5 o'clock, when you look out in the gate, the people are lined up down the street and they have real needs. When I start shutting the clinic down at 5 o'clock, it's the doctors that say, you can't shut the clinic down. There's people waiting out mm-hmm. there. And it just is a great reminder that it doesn't matter when you close the gate, 5 o'clock, 9 o'clock, midnight, there will always be people around the world that need help. Mm-hmm. So it's a reminder. Hopefully it's a reminder to your listeners that you can't give enough. You can't go enough. There will always be a need, but we have to meet those needs.
Mm-hmm. And I remember you told me a story around Christmas time about a father who had, I'm not sure if it was Muslims or someone who didn't like Christians was demanding that they forego their Christian religion and convert to Islam, and he refused. And I guess what I'm thinking is, we take these things for granted in the United States. I heard a story recently about how church membership is down, but that doesn't mean that people still aren't spiritual and they don't believe in God. It's just that maybe they're not going to an organized church as much. But I wonder about that father you told me about who died, who right in front of his family, because he refused to give up his Christian religion.
And sitting here looking at you reminds me of that conversation, because you had your daughters there so we could talk, and I really appreciate your heart and love and care for those people. But that father did. He was in what would now be considered South Sudan. We were in the Kordofan region, and everybody probably listening to the radio show has heard of Darfur. Darfur is a province in the central, that's in that band of central part of Sudan that separates North Sudan from South Sudan. But Darfur is bordered up against Chad, so the news media can get into Darfur. And in Darfur, there were a million people displaced, and over 200,000 people killed for their faith, purely religious genocide. What people don't have never heard of is the province just to the east of Darfur is a province called Kordofan. Kordofan had 1 million people persecuted to death, 4 million people displaced, four times what was in Darfur, and the world doesn't even know about it. Mm-hmm. Because it's to get in there, you risk your life to get in there. I've been in the Kordofan, and that's where I met this particular family. And the lady, her name was Sadia. And her husband, they were being forced to convert to Islam, and they politely just refused. They could not recant their faith. It was who they were. It's what they believe with all their heart. And when the terrorists came to their home that night, they bound the husband, drug him out in the front yard, bound him, raped his wife and children and the daughters in front of him, and then doused him with gasoline, bound in the front yard, and set his body on fire. Those children, that wife and daughters who had just been horribly taken advantage, brutalized, had to watch the husband and dad burn to death, and they left, and left them to clean up the mess. Well, who in America would ever think of something like that happening? Mm-hmm. It's totally unconscionable that it would happen. We don't go in there with hatred for that. If we could minister to those Muslims who did that, we would do just that. We would love them the same, love their families the same. But it gives us occasion to be able to go in to minister to a Sadia, to care for her, to give her financial support, to help her kids be able to go to school. Because if they don't, they're forced into the exact same type of terrorist mentality, and we don't want to see that happen. And don't want the intent, will of the father or the mother to be subverted by someone who thinks they have the power to force that on someone else.
I bet a lot of our listeners are sitting there wondering, would I have the strength to not give in to these terrorists and say, okay, I'll convert to Islam just to save your life. You know, we take religion for granted so much in the United States. I wonder about myself. Push comes to shove, if I would have that strength. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there who would say, oh yeah, I would do what I had to do to save my life.
I've stood in the fields with people in South Sudan, North Sudan, Egypt. Tim, people that are very simple, that we would probably look down on them. If you were working behind a retail counter and they came through, you would probably look down on them. I mean, I just say that as me, not, any condemnation of any people group or mm-hmm. nationality. And when I stand there and I hear their stories, I realize I'm standing in the presence of greatness. And I wonder the same thing. Would I be able to do that? I purpose in my heart to have that, but I've never been put in that position. The worst I've ever had is somebody say something negative about me, and that hurts my feelings. Mm-hmm. Could I actually die for what I believe? I would hope I could, but I don't know. I've never been forced to do that. These are people who do it. They're heroes. They're beyond heroes. It's people, and they're forgotten. Nobody cares for them, and it's people that we want to take help, aid, and ministry to.
How many trips a year does Remember take to some of these countries?
There's as many as three. There's always at least one construction group. I just have come back from Myanmar, south of China. So there's always a construction group that goes. So we love those listeners that listen to your program because of their. Well, we would love to have builders, cabinet makers, fence builders, tile setters. All those guys can go and gals can go and work in these areas. Some places we can't take the gals just because it's just not appropriate. And we don't want to put them at excess risk. But so we do that. We have a dental team that'll be going. We have a medical team that goes annually. So there's at least usually 3 to 4 trips or more a year. And then if somebody just wants to go on a more intimate private basis, I've been willing to travel with builders, families to go and where they can go. There's always opportunity. You can go to Southeast Asia, as I've mentioned to you and your daughters, to go and play soccer mm-hmm. with little orphan children for a week. You could have built a building. You could have participated in a medical clinic. You could have given an enormous amount of money. And we're very grateful for what you have done personally in Charleston Home and Design. But you can take your daughters there and play soccer and color and braid hair and paint toenails and probably have a more greater long-lasting effect than you can in many of those other areas. So you don't have to be a doctor to go. You don't have to be a builder to go. If you can paint a toenail and kind of stay in the lines, you don't even really have to stay in the lines. Those kids recognize love. And that's what we go to do is love them.
Well, that's great to know that. I'm sure we have a lot of listeners that would be interested in donating to Remember, but there's also folks that have those skills that where they could donate their time and go on one of these mission trips and really have a great impact. Really kind of, connect their trade, what they're doing for a living, to something that really is worthwhile and makes a difference in for humanity.
That's exactly right. Where you can go, when you take a builder and you watch him put his skills together, that he's built some incredibly beautiful products that have been showcased in your publication. But to be able to go over there and take a piece of raw material and build a set of cabinets. And we have a group that have done that right here and build a set of cabinets in a home that probably, Tim, we're sitting in, you know, a beautiful facility right now with beautiful cabinetry, and these may have been the prettiest cabinets I've ever seen. Probably not a door exactly true, nor a rail or style exactly perfect.
Right, right. And the one thing that was very, very important to mention is 100% of the funds that are donated to Remember go to these mission trips, right?
That is correct. All the operational expenses are underwritten by local businesses, actually not all local, but businesses, and we certainly would welcome anybody who would want to help sponsor the operational side, because without the operational side, it's hard to have the ministry side. But 100% of every dollar that's given, there's nothing that's used for staff. There are no paid staff. It's all fund. It's all volunteer based. 100% is something you can give to, that if you give a dollar goes to the need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at Christmas time, I think the state of South Carolina puts out a list of some of the Scrooge charities and nonprofits out there who take donations, and then a lot of them go into people's the administrators' pockets and the executives and things like that. And that's definitely not the case with Remember. How can folks get more information about Remember?
They can find us on the web, Tim, and you can actually sign up on there for the upcoming trips. So we've got a dental trip coming up, a medical trip coming up, and we're taking construction folks on both of those efforts as well. You can find us on the web at rememberthose.org. Rememberthose.org. If they wanted to just ask questions, if you don't mind, I'll give my cell phone number, and they're more than welcome to give me a call personally. So my cell phone number is 843-200-5261. Be happy to talk to anybody that was interested.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Rick Jackson about the local nonprofit Remember Those at rememberthose.org. Thanks so much, Rick.
Thank you, Tim.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com, home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.